Oh, when the saints go marching.
Yeah.
Ah, I thought I might have a few takers on that. Even if you didn't say it out loud, the word "in" probably popped into your mind. For that is the word that completes that very familiar piece of American music. A song which is very catchy with its syncopation and engaging melody. It's very easily learned. What clearly is not so easily learned, however, is the proper meaning of the most important word in that title, saint. Evidence of a complete lack of proper understanding of that Bible word surfaced again in some recent headlines. On April 27th, one news agency sent out on its airwaves this headline: John the 23rd, John Paul II, declared saints in historic dual papal canonization. It happens every now and then. The Catholic Church kicks into gear its process of canonization, some rather drawn-out process where they apparently investigate the life and works of some prominent Catholics. And when it is determined that such individuals have performed an extraordinary amount of so-called good works, and have participated somehow in the performing of at least two miracles, even after they've died somehow, that qualifies a person for being declared a saint. And when that happens, the world oohs and ahs over the supposed greatness of these individuals who have been so canonized, without taking the time to take a look at Scripture and find out how the Bible actually uses and defines that word. Simply put, a saint is someone who is holy, blameless, without fault, which means that not a single person on earth is born a saint, for every single human being is born of sinful parents from whom he or she inherits a sinful nature. Every single person, therefore, is born unholy, unsaintly, and incapable of standing in the presence of a holy God. So, who can ever really ever achieve the status of being holy? Who can ever properly be called a saint? Based on its dreadfully flawed theological perspective that a person can somehow do so many supposedly good works that they can somehow make up for their own bad behavior, the Catholic Church apparently believes that there are those who can do so many helpful and loving things that they can somehow make up for whatever bad there might be, actually achieve the lofty level of being holy, and perhaps even have some good works to spare. But Scripture blasts away such flawed thinking with a single sentence: all our righteousness is as filthy rags. Try as one might, there is nothing any human being can do through one's own efforts to somehow erase the effects of our own sinful nature, nor make up for the many sins that we have committed. No human being can ever become a saint of his own volition or strength or will. On the other hand, and here's the amazing part, any human being is granted that loftiest of titles when the perfect righteousness of another becomes one's own. The Bible reveals that anyone who believes in Jesus as the Son of God, who came to shed his blood in atonement for the sins of the world, receives all the credit and benefit of Christ's complete righteousness. Stated very simply and succinctly, the Catechism defines the communion of saints, which you spoke of again last Sunday as you spoke the Creed, as the group of who? The group of all who believe in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. A definition which is based squarely on the Scriptures, contrary to headlines which reserve the word saint for the few who have fictitiously completed an enormous amount of good works, are the headlines or starting lines inspired by the Holy Spirit himself. Listen to the interesting way in which the Apostle Paul addressed the assembly of believers, the simple Christian congregations in the various cities to which he wrote. He addressed one of his letters to the Church of God, which is at Corinth, To those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. He also wrote to the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, and to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae. The Holy Spirit recognizes anyone in whom he has created saving faith as a saint. For every believer is covered with the righteousness of Christ. In the second chapter of his letter to the Ephesians, Paul said, "You are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a habitation of God in the Spirit." Simply put, everyone who is a Christian is a saint. And somebody who is not a Christian can never possibly be a saint. So, when the saints go marching into paradise on the last day, the procession will consist simply of those who have believed in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But how about when the saints go marching out? What can be expected by believers as they go marching out into the world prior to the end of this world? In just a few days, we'll observe saints marching across the stage as they, along with all other Christians, will head out into the unsaintly world. What's in store? Well, for starters, as a saint, you'll never be alone. And I did a little bit of a march myself through a publication which does use the word saint very properly and very correctly, our hymnal, and thought I would use various stanzas from various hymns that speak of the life of saints here in this world to help us get a handle on what can be expected and seen in the earthly existence for the people of God. Some of the examples from the hymnal are as follows. "You'll never be alone," hymn 478. "The saints on earth and those above but one communion make, joined to their Lord in bonds of love, all of his grace partake. As a saint, you will always have all that you need for the living of earthly life." Hymn 427. "How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, who unto the Savior for refuge have fled? As a saint, you will be nourished and supported and helped not only by the spoken word of the gospel, but also by the gospel and sacrament. 307. "He that his saints in this world rules and shields, to all believers life eternal yields, with heavenly bread makes them that hunger whole, gives living waters to the thirsting soul." As a saint, you will have both the duty and the delight of proclaiming your Savior's praises and his salvation. Hymn 10. "Today, that is Sunday, he rose and left the dead, and Satan's empire fell. Today the saints his triumphs spread and all his wonders tell." Which is not to say, of course, that earthly life for saints is easy. Typically, it is the opposite. Hymn 72 addresses ye saints as those who hear in patience your cross and sufferings bore. Yet saints of God can have complete confidence that the eternal victory has been secured for them. 263. "O little flock, fear not the foe who madly seeks your overthrow. Dread not his rage and power. What though your courage sometimes faints, his seeming triumph o'er God's saints lasts but a little hour." So, St. Andrew, St. Joseph, St. Lydia, St. Sierra, and all other Christians out there, continue with confidence your march out into the world, knowing that very soon all Christians will joyfully be singing as all saints go marching in to glory. Another of the hymns which speaks of God's people as saints is hymn 473, stanzas 1, 4, and 5 this morning. 473, 1, 4, and 5.